what's going on? Rob Cicerino here with our special coverage of the Amazing Race 26 finale. Today, we're going to talk with the final four teams from the Amazing Race 26. Of course, we will start off with our winners, Tyler and Laura, and then we will talk with the second, third, and fourth place finishers from the Amazing Race. That would be Jelani and Jenny. That would be Blaley, Blair and Haley. And then finally, Mike and Rochelle here on your Amazing Race Exit Interview podcast. Of course, this Thursday, I will also have exit interviews with the final five players from Survivor Worlds Apart. That's coming up as part of our finale coverage here in Survivor Finale Week. The Amazing Race finale was on Friday night. Jessica and I had a really nice chat about Tyler and Laura's win this past Friday night. That's up on robiswebsite.com if you haven't checked it out. All right, so here's what we're going to do. First, we're going to do our winner interview, and then I'll come back in between each one and set up the next interview. But let's jump right into it. I see that we have the winners of Amazing Race 26, Tyler and Laura, on the line. All right, Laura and Tyler, hello. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. Laura and Tyler, you guys did it. You are the winners of the Amazing Race. And on a blind date, did either of you think that there was going to be this possibility when you started on this adventure? I'll start with Tyler.
You know, going into the Amazing Race, I definitely, dreamed of winning, and it's something that you got to come in with confidence that you're going to do it. But when you got to that starting line, the nerves started setting in. You looked across the board. There were 11 really young, fit teams. And it was a challenge, and it was nerve-wracking, but I couldn't be more thrilled with the outcome.
Yeah. Laura, did you think that this was a possibility? When you first got Tyler as a partner, you seemed very excited about this.
I like attractive men.
Yes, okay. That's such an odd characteristic to like.
I totally did think this was a possibility. I think that you could do anything that you set your mind to. I have been wanting to be on The Amazing Race for years. And so I knew if I got on, I wasn't going to go home. I was going to be in that final three and do whatever I needed to do to get there. Especially doing it with someone that you don't know. It's like, okay, we get kicked off, and then what do we do? You know what I mean? Like, I want to keep racing.
Yes. All right. And you guys did continue to race. And even though in the middle of the race, you sort of like were just like in the middle of the pack, you guys really started to come into your own around the time that you guys got into Namibia. And other than the mamas and the papas, a little bit of a slowdown, you guys were pretty much at the front of the pack for most of the way through. What ended up starting to click, Laura?
I think it was that we made a lot of mistakes in the beginning. I don't think it was for anything about us not being a strong team. I think that we weren't picking the correct taxi drivers. We lost our passports. There were things that just kept getting in our way, but we still were in the race. So I think that gave us the confidence that we could get through this. Doing this with someone that you don't know, I mean, I think there's advantages and disadvantages to that, and that we were able to make it through and pretty much stay out of the bottom for a good portion of the race. I mean, I just knew that we were going to kick butt.
Okay. All right. So you guys ended up with, that one leg where that was the closest that you guys probably came to getting kicked off when you guys got stuck with the mamas and with the mamas and the papas. What was the problem there, Tyler?
Yeah. Well, the biggest problem there was that when we were in Africa, and we were approaching that challenge, we had actually wanted to do the mamas, and our driver had taken us to papas. So we got the potatoes, and it was already like, crap, here we go. All right, we got to just do this, because we didn't know if they were going to be able to take us to the right location. So we just started doing it. And when we did the challenge and we asked them if it was correct, we thought they might say no, and then we could just move a couple potatoes around and ask them again. Well, when all those potatoes came crashing down and we had just seen Matt and Ashley, we knew that things were neck and neck, and it was up to us or them, and someone was going home. And the nerves just started to hit, and I truly wasn't sure if we were ever going to figure out those potatoes. They all looked so damn similar and was nervous that, one wrong potato in the wrong bin was going to send us home. So definitely a nerve-wracking moment, but very grateful that we made it through.
And luckily, Laura was there to spit on them.
Tyler also did some stunning, I must say.
All right, but let's stick with that, because when Matt and Ashley come over there and they're like, hey, well, we don't know what to do, and tell us where to go, and you guys like, oh, we don't know. Did you give them misinformation?
No, we did not know that's where Mama's was, because honestly, if we did, we probably would have changed detours. Because potatoes was so difficult. We thought that they were at potatoes where we were divining everything, saying papas, 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 and mamas, mamas, mamas. Like, they had no idea where they were. And we didn't really know what they were doing either. So no, that wasn't us lying to them.
Okay. All right. Now I want to ask another tough question, because when I spoke with Jeff and Jackie way back when, there was the fanny pack gate. That you guys were looking for you needed to find your pack, and it was in the car that Jeff and Jackie had. Do you guys feel like Jeff and Jackie hid the fanny pack on you?
The fanny pack was left on the seat. That is where you see it. That's where in the episode the camera goes on it, on the seat. I found it shoved underneath the front seat. So I don't know how it magically got from one location to the other unless one of them moved it.
What if they stopped short and it went flying under the seat?
There is no possible way, because it was in the middle seat. That's where you see the camera angle, and this was shoved underneath.
To be honest, though, I would have done the exact same thing. I mean, the rules don't allow you to throw it out the window, so you got to at least try to hide it. I mean, shit. That was lucky that we, you know, could wait for it to arrive and continue to race. So no hard feelings on that thing ending up anywhere in that car.
Okay, so that worked out fine then. Could you talk about the, I don't know if alliance is the right word, but at least that you guys started working with Matt and Ashley at one point. Tyler, how did that come about?
Yeah, that came about in Africa. On the first day we were in Africa?
The first leg of the race, we didn't really work with them.
No.
But then they beat us.
Yeah, it was really in Africa. It was that, what, yeah. It went in Africa after, you know, we had come so close to finishing at the exact same time, and they kind of scurried up that rock and beat us. There was a ton of driving in Africa, and the driving was difficult. And so Matt and I at one point said, hey, let's help each other out and make sure we're going in the right directions. Because over the course of those 2 days, we probably spent somewhere between 4 and 5 hours driving. And it was just a really good feeling to be able to look in the rearview mirror and know that there was another team there and you were going in the right direction. And it worked out really well, right? They won a leg in Africa. We won a leg in Africa. And we definitely made two lifelong friends right there in Namibia, which is a very unexpected place.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys invited to the wedding?
Yes.
You are.
Okay, good.
I want to be in the wedding.
Could you talk about when you guys were in the Netherlands and had to just sail around in the tub, going around in the water? Laura, how unbearable was that?
Unbearable? That was so fun.
It was just funny, or did it get cold?
Tyler is just hysterical. I mean, he's there shirtless, like yelling at people, basically like trying to get all the attention. It's like, I just wanted him to pay attention to the task and stop paying attention to himself.
Yes, people thought we were crazy though. Like, those hot tubs are literally a floating hot tub, but it was freezing out. Like, everyone was in winter clothes. And I think even for us, by the time we got to the end, like, it started to get really cold. The fact that Jenny and Jelani had to do it a second time, it must have been freezing, but it was a blast.
Okay. All right. So then when you guys were in the Netherlands also, you guys had to celebrate Laura's birthday, and yeah, you guys went to a bar and ended up missing out on getting on the earlier flights. Was it worth it to go to the bar for your birthday, Laura?
I think it was worth it. I mean, look how it ended in the end. We got first place still. I mean, we struggled in Peru, and I thought that my birthday was cursed. However, I wouldn't have changed a thing. Except maybe, I mean, we could have just said, can we get earlier flights? And then we would have been there 12 hours ahead.
One line. That's all we had to read was one line. But hey, it worked out.
We have some fun times in the airport with Matt and Ashley and Mike and Rochelle. So
okay,
now, I guess it all was worth it.
Well, going back to that, one of the reasons why you sort of wanted to break away from the pack, it was also your birthday, but you didn't want to be around Haley. You said Haley was all negative energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what was it about Haley that was hard to deal with?
It's not that it was hard to deal with. It was that, so Jenny and I had the same birthday. And so all Ted and I wanted to do was hang out with Jenny and Jelani and us. However, Jenny and Jelani were further behind us. We couldn't wait for them. It's more that every time that I was with Haley and Blair, they would argue so much. And I just didn't want to hear that on my birthday. I had gone out to breakfast with them in Namibia, and they got into an argument while we were at the table, and I had to excuse myself. We're on the Amazing Race. There's no time for that. It's just time to, like, have fun.
But you didn't think that was funny? That was funny?
Pardon?
You don't think that was funny when they would argue?
I mean, I'm not really an arguer.
I thought it was hilarious. My favorite line of the whole season, still to this mm-hmm. day, is when Laura and I are sitting on top of the hood waiting for our fanny packs to arrive, and Blair is getting yelled at, and he turns to the camera and he just says, "I'm just craving conversation with happy people."
Okay, so my whole thing is that I have no ill will against Haley. I actually like her and I become friends with her.
Okay.
But my thing was watching the way that she treated Blair on the race made me feel uncomfortable because I don't think he deserved it. And so especially on my birthday, we're going out drinking. I just wanted to have a good time.
Okay. What was the most fun part of the race for both, besides winning? Besides the part where you won the money, for each of you guys, what was the most fun part of the race, Tyler?
I have to say, even before winning, the last day was just incredible. And we really didn't think we were going to win. We were so far behind Blair and Haley. Even when we got to the monster trucks, we thought that Blair and Haley had already been there and left. They were almost, 45 minutes to an hour ahead of us, and we thought we were fighting for second place. And after getting to run into Cowboy Stadium and score a touchdown and then ride those horses, which was insane, and then to drive a monster truck, I mean, it was just like everything a little boy dreams of.
Yeah, and what about you, Laura?
I would have to agree. I mean, there's something that I love about each place, but maybe I would also say Japan, because that's where it all started. When Tyler and I got through the dance challenge before anyone else on our second try, I feel like it gave us so much confidence that we were just going to kick butt the whole race. So I would say that mixed with, of course, the monster trucks at the end were insane and incredible. And I have been to Dallas numerous times. I love Texas. And to scale down Reunion Tower, I couldn't even believe it. It was like a pinch me moment. I felt like I was dreaming.
Was there any bad blood between you guys and Team Sochi after you used the U-turn on them?
No, I actually saw both of them last week. They came into LA. We all had dinner. There's no bad blood at all. Like, we even talked about it and we laughed. They know that they were the strongest competitors and that we're in a race for $1 million. You're there also to make friends, but you're really there to win the amazing race. And we didn't really have any other choice. We had no idea that they were so far behind us.
Yeah. And we struggled with that decision just because we always said, if just for traveling purposes, we like them, they were top of our list of teams that we would have loved to have gone around and travel with. But from a competition standpoint, they had to go.
All right. And now that you guys have won the $1 million prize and are going to be splitting that between the two of you guys, is there any concern from either of you that you will now become bougie now that you have this money?
Oh, we're always bougie. We were born bougie.
For the record, I didn't know what the hell bougie even was.
I don't really even know what it means.
Meeting Laura.
My girlfriends and I just like certain words. We like bougie and we like bojankety. And we had to just get super bougie in Monaco.
And what's that second word?
Flip flops for the remainder of the summer. There'll be very little bouginess here.
You won't be bougie. What, bojankety?
Yeah, bojankety, that's the opposite.
Laura has a dictionary of her own term.
I do.
So the opposite of bougie is bojankety?
This might not actually be logical, but it's just the way that my girlfriends and I speak.
Can you just use that in a sentence real quick?
Yeah, that place was so bad. It was super bojankety.
Super bojankety. Okay, so all right.
And Monaco, you would say Monaco is super bougie.
You got to get the spelling right, though. Otherwise, you get yelled at.
Yeah, Tyler doesn't. It took him a while to figure out how to spell both bougie and bojankety.
Okay. And the winning together, that was not some great aphrodisiac. You guys did not end up together. Oh, that's a long pause. That's a long pause.
The million-dollar prize was not the ultimate aphrodisiac. Okay.
All right. Well, they say that, you know, winning cures everything. So maybe it was. All right. You guys, Lauren Tyler, thank you so much for coming on with me. I really appreciate it. And congratulations again on your win.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay.
And yes, I hope that you don't think the podcast was too bojankety.
No, not at all. I love you.
Great. Oh, well, thank you. Oh, wow. This is fantastic news. All right. Lauren Tyler, all the best. Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody. There you have it. That's Tyler and Laura, your Amazing Race winners. Here on Rob Has a Podcast. All right, before we get to Jelani and Jenny, just want to take a moment and remind you guys that our RHAP t-shirt sale is going on still through the end of the Survivor finale this Wednesday. If you want to get your hands on one of our RHAP Bell shirts, they're going to be going away after Wednesday. So this is going to be the last chance to get your hands on them for a while. If you want to check those out, you can go to robiswebsite.com/bell shirt. They start at $16, different styles, different cuts, tanks. They've got like a softball shirt, a couple different versions that you can get. You can check it all out. robiswebsite.com/bell shirt. And we are donating $1 from each t-shirt sale to Autism Speaks. Okay, let's get into our second exit interview of the show here. And we're going to speak with Jelani and Jenny. They were the legal team and they are here. They didn't find love, but they're with us on the podcast. Jelani and Jenny, are you there?
Hi, Rob.
Hi, Rob.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. Very excited to talk to you both. Congratulations on the second place finish on The Amazing Race. It's
Thank you.
All right. Catch us up to date. Still no romance, right?
No.
But still great friends.
Yeah, for sure.
Very much so. Okay. Yes.
All right. Well, talk about what you guys feel like was the difference between ultimately the second place finish, which is very, very respectable, and ultimately being the first team to finish in the Amazing Race.
Oh, they say it's respectable. I feel like Chris Paul last night. He was like, "You're not first, you're last."
It was close.
It was close. It was totally close. Yeah, totally. But, I mean, like a lot of different factors. It was, like you said, it was close. You know, they got their last selfie challenge a little bit better. I think it's their selfie expertise, I would say.
Yes.
What's the difference maker?
Was that really what it was? The difference in putting the color forms up on the map?
Yeah, it really was.
It was that close. We were there at the same time. They finished it ahead of us.
We actually got the locker, the combination before they did. So Tyler was like the king of selfies on the race, and he took selfies like everywhere.
He had good selfies.
Whereas like Jelani and I, we were not up on our selfie game, and most of our selfies were like at airports or like in the back of cabs. So it was very difficult when we were putting the photos up to distinguish between like, oh, which airport was this versus the other one. So I think it really did come down to the selfie.
Yes. Jelani, you want to jump in there?
Yeah, no, I totally. I think Jenny said it real well. Like I said, Tyler, king of the selfies, obviously. And then Laura had a bunch of selfies, and they were obviously in district locations. Whereas ours, like she said, every back of the taxi in every airport was basically the same. Oh, it's gate 77 at this airport. Well, it's just gate 77 at another airport. So it was really like hard to differentiate. And then, you know, once you just try to put the order in, we got to reorganize, and they made us a time right there. Because like you said, as Jenny said, we got the lock open first, but then we buy from the selfies, and then that was it. Couldn't catch up.
Do you think that Tyler had an unfair advantage because he probably took more selfies before the Amazing Race happened?
Totally. I think he's been juicing on the selfies. Definitely. Way too much selfie skill.
Juicing on the selfies. Oh my God.
Yeah. Jelani, have you been driving a stick shift since you got home from the Amazing Race?
I don't think anyone will let me drive stick shift. If I walk into like a rental car place, they will not give me a stick shift car. So I don't think that's even an option at this point. So I definitely have not, but it's funny. I actually talked to my aunt who, she's tossing. She knows I drive stick. She's like, I'll teach you how to like drive stick better and all that. I'm like, listen. Okay.
Yes.
A little late, but yeah, let's do it.
All right. Was there anything that came up during the race that you guys found out that the other one had said that kind of bummed you guys out at all?
See, like for our team, like Jelani
yes.
has said
for team for the legal team.
That someone said, another team said about us, or that we
no that you guys that us. You guys said about each other in your quest to find love on the Amazing Race.
No, I think like we
hold on one at a time. Like, one at a time. Jenny first.
Okay. No, not at all. Because like Jelani and I, like basically for an entire month, we were talking to each other. We were talking like nonstop to each other. Like the producers, they were like, "Yeah, we've never seen a team like just never shut up." You know, like we're constantly communicating with each other. So there was like no surprises and any sort of. Anything that was said, it was all about like the frustration, like being frustrated with the situation. We never said anything. We would never throw any like, personal insults at each other because like, I think we just have a lot of respect for each other. And so like, you know, yeah, like, you know, in Bangkok, we were frustrated. We were lost, but it wasn't like, oh my gosh, like Jenny, you're an idiot. No, Jelani, you're like dumb or whatever. Like it was always just like, oh my God, like where are we going? Like, you know, things like that. So no, I don't think any of that ever happened.
And Jelani, you co-signed that?
I totally co-signed that. Yeah, I mean, like, we were pretty much on the same page throughout the whole thing. And, like, she said, we talked a ton. So, like, I don't even know if we had a chance if we wanted to talk about each other. We knew everything we knew. We knew everything we were going to say to each other. We had all talked. It had all been said before because we were always talking. So there's no surprises. So,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, seemed like it was going to be a big deal on the show when you guys got U-turned by Matt and Ashley. And then ultimately, really, nothing ever came of it. How pissed were you guys with Matt and Ashley? We'll start with Jelani this time.
Yeah, I totally wasn't pissed. Like, I we kind of saw it coming. So it was like, I definitely wasn't really pissed. But like, yeah, you don't want to be U-turned, obviously. And like, it was, you know, a little bit annoying. But yeah, it was... And obviously, it's worked out fine for us. I never didn't really hold us back or anything like that. You know, but prevented us from maybe winning that leg. But outside of that, nothing too crazy.
Okay, Jenny, you weren't that pissed either.
No, it wasn't. Like we pretty much had a good idea that because we had the express pass, like they would target us or any team. If it wasn't Matt and Ashley, so like another team would have U-turned us. I think it's just natural, you know, for the team with the express pass to be targeted. And like Jelani said, we knew it wasn't going to change the outcome in any way. Like Steve and Allie were just so far behind the other teams. Like we knew like there was really no way we could have been eliminated and we had to use the express pass. It basically just meant that, you know, we had to do the tire challenge and exert a little bit more energy. And honestly, like once we got to the pit stop, like Matt and Ashley, they came up to us and they were like, hey, sorry guys, no hard feelings, but you know, we had to do it, right? So everything was, you know, bridge of water under the bridge. And afterwards, like, Ashley braided my hair. I think that was, like, her way of, like, giving me, like, a peace offering. So
yes.
It was great. Got a hair braid out of it.
All right. Can you guys talk to me about the Four Eyes skating rink? Was it Five or Five Eyes skating it's rink?
Five Eyes. I was like, five or 2-3.
Yes.
Or Roman.
What was the problem there? What, at the point where you have skating rink and you're coming up with all these different, was it Roman skating rink? All these different things. What was the major problem there, Jenny?
The major problem was as lawyers, we went into lawyer mode and we started overanalyzing the situation. I think the idea of it just being ice skating rink was like, oh no, that's way too simple.
Too easy.
Like we were basically trying to figure out the exact specific name of that skating rink. I think the idea that it was an ice skating rink probably we overthought it.
Yeah, we totally overthought it. Like, of course it's ice skating rink. What is it? There's not roller rinks out here in the winter. Like, yeah. So it was just like, oh, what else? Where is it? Where's the address? We totally overthought it.
So, and Jelani, what did you ultimately do? You had to ask somebody to sort of figure it out?
Yeah, so then we were asking them, like, we were like, I think we actually even said out loud, is there a rink or ice skating rink at 2-3 or something, a Roman ice skating rink? And then he went and Googled and he's like, there's the ice skating rink. And they're like, oh, it's just ice skating rink. That's just, that's the ice. And then we're like, oh, okay. And then we're like, all right, so we'll just say ice skating rink, and we wrote it down.
Yeah.
Fortunately,
yeah, you're right. I think when we were asking the guy about the skating rink, we were like, yeah, is there a rink around here?
Yeah. Is there a Roman ice skating rink around here?
Roman ice skating rink. Now, you guys were, I thought, you know, pretty impressive in that you guys were never really on the brink of elimination. You guys never finished, not only last, but never finished next to last in any leg of the race. I mean, what do you attribute that to, that you guys are two people who didn't even know each other, you know, a month before you started, or a month from the end of the Amazing Race? So you show up, you don't know each other at all, and the final three teams are all these blind date teams. Is there something to that, Jelani?
I don't think so. People are speculating on that now. I've been saying, I just think that it just so happened that there were six really strong individuals that got paired up with each other, and that partly could be due to the pairing process and trying to find matches for these individuals.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think we were just very, you know, strong individuals. The six of us as individuals were, you know, just very strong, and so we made for, you know, like, very strong teams. And I think, you know, the whole, like, being on a blind date with each other, that dynamic, like, perhaps in the beginning, that helped out a lot, because they were, you know, being polite and everything in the beginning. But then, you know, after a while, you get to know each other, and that's not really in play anymore. So I just think, you know, each of the blind daters had a lot of strengths that they were able to bring to the team.
Jelani, do you feel like that both partners there on the blind date are both just there to try to win, as opposed to the couples that are there are sort of like, oh, this is an experience that I'm with my loved one, or my, in the case of this season, that everybody is dating and we're on this adventure together. Whereas for blind date teams, it's like, hey, I'm here to win, and both people are just there to win.
I mean, possibly that'd be part of it. Obviously, you know, it's up to what they would say. I don't think so. But I think everyone was super competitive. I know the teams were already dating couples. They were all in it to win it for the most part, or at least the ones we interacted with. And I think, like Jenny said, in the beginning, obviously, in your best behavior with someone you just met, so maybe that played partly into it. But really, I think everyone was there to compete. And I just think that it just so happened that, you know, the three strongest teams in this broke out to be blind dating teams. Well, three winning, I should say, the three teams finished the 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. Jenny, tell me the truth. How worried were you that Jelani was going to drown in Peru when he was out there on the ocean?
That was, you know, that really, okay. I felt so bad for Jelani. Like in the beginning, like seeing him like go out there like that and like falling off, I felt so horrible for, because he was drinking so much water and had to like get back on. It was bad. And I definitely was like very concerned for him. But then once he started like, you know, laying back and, you know, started to hit the Jelani way, he did so much better. And I'm like, okay, he's got it. You know, like he found his way. He found the Jelani way, and it worked out for him.
Jelani, are you buying that? Because it didn't look like Jenny was scared for you. It looked like she was laughing.
No, that was
where
he found the Jelani way.
One at a time. All right, let Jelani talk now, Jenny.
Okay, first of all, it'd be weird if he wasn't laughing, because that was hilarious. Like, watching it back, I was in Chicago to watch that episode. I walk into my buddy's apartment, like, I'm there with him, and, like, he just has that like, clip frozen of me, like, falling off, like, replaying it again in the DVR again, as I walk into the apartment, like, cracking up. So it's definitely, like, it was definitely funny. I thought it was funny. I'm sure once she realized I was pretty safe, in the back of her head, she was that concerned less. So she was just like, all right, let me enjoy this.
Okay.
But it was, oh man, that was so tough. I was worried I was going to drown.
What was the toughest moment for each of you guys going through this race around the world? What about you, Jenny?
Let's see. I think for me, the toughest moment was getting through Bangkok. I think, you know, just that whole leg, it was just, you know, very frustrating because, like, you know, we were getting lost and we weren't communicating as well as we had been. And also, like, after having won, like, the first two legs of the race, like, I think, you know, you built up this, like, sort of, like, expectation and this hope and excitement that, like, oh, well, maybe we can, like, remain on top. And to kind of, like, get so lost and, you know, to kind of, like, not be working as well as we had been, It definitely, I think, affected me a lot. And after that leg, like, you know, Jelani and I, we had a very, very long conversation. We're like, listen, like, we can't, you know, work like this. And that was when I was like, you know, I need to learn from the mistakes from that leg, learn to communicate more constructively, more effectively, you know, and get my shit together so that, you know, we can move on and do better in future legs. So I think for me, the worst moment was Bangkok. And learning from that experience helped out a lot.
Okay, real quick, Jelani. Okay, all right, that's fine. All right, you guys, thank you both so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. And best of luck to both of you guys, okay?
For sure, man. Thanks.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Later.
All right, everybody, there you have it. That is Jenny and Jelani here on the podcast. And of course, it's been a very busy week for us here on Rob Has a Podcast. We have recorded 26 interviews with people who are campaigning to be a part of Survivor Second Chance. If you missed any of those and you're a Survivor fan, you can go ahead and check them all out at robiswebsite.com/second chance. Now, I do hope that we get a second chance at some point to see this next team back on the race at some point, because they were a lot of fun to watch. I'm very excited to talk to them now. Here they are, America's hottest couple that's not a couple. It is Blair and Haley. Are you there?
Hi, Rob.
Haley, how are you?
I'm very well, Rob. How are you?
First thing I want to know is, how is Blair doing on these interviews this morning?
Blair is doing great. He does great at anything he does.
Oh, wow.
He does.
Blair, look at you.
We had a deal worked out, Rob. For every compliment she gave me, I would pay her like $10.
$10?
Yeah, exactly.
How much money do you have
and
so
then
far?
At the end of it? Probably like $5.
That was the first one.
Whatever. Okay, all right. Blair and Haley, you guys were so much fun to watch on the race this season. You guys are like a comedy team. And so I'm very excited to talk to you both. You guys made the season very fun.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Tom.
even though Blair doesn't sound like the season was that much fun for him.
He can answer that.
Blair, am I wrong about that?
No, I mean, it's impossible. Look, I traveled the world and did ridiculous challenges in ridiculous places and had a really good teammate for it. So I can't be, there's no way not to have fun and be appreciative of that. I mean, Do I wish I was yelled at a little less?
Your wish came true.
But at the end of the day, I mean, we had an incredible run. We gave a pretty good storyline to the audience and got some pretty diehard fans. And I think, you know, the whole season was a success for us. So
yeah,
gotta view it in a positive way.
Well, what's wild about you is that you guys were sort of like the functionally dysfunctional team. And I mean that in a positive way, because you guys got into these big arguments and these blowouts, but you guys had, you know, three first place finishes down the stretch.
We did.
And you guys looked like, going into the finale and even like midway through the finale, it looked like you guys were going to win the race. So Haley, was there some method to all of this? Was there some benefit that came out of, you know, the way that you guys would get into it with each other?
You know, when it came down to it, I think Blair and I can both say, you know, we're huge race fans. We're highly competitive. And, you know, we both have our own ways of doing things. We have a doctor-nurse relationship in some ways. You know, there's ways nurses do things, there's ways doctors do things. And we were on a different path at first.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, once we finally kind of got it together, we were always working towards the same goal, obviously. And, you know, it just took us a little longer to get it together than the other teams. But when we did get it together, I mean, hey, we got to the final three. And as Blair said, I mean, we made a pretty good storyline. You got to see us evolve over time. You got to see us go from literally at the beginning, the first two legs for us were just awful. We just didn't have a clue. And then, you know, by the third leg, we were in second place and we were just taking it home from there. And as Blair said, I mean, I think we've got such a diehard fan base now, and we do have some unfinished business, but we we had a great run overall. And like you said, it was functionally dysfunctional. It worked for us. Would that have worked for many other people? No. And having watched season after season, does it usually work when people are like that? No, it doesn't. But for whatever reason, it just worked for us.
But in some ways, don't you think that you brought out the best in Blair? You were sort of like a jockey, and you were just like, you know, cracking the whip, and the horse was running faster. Is that fair, Blair?
Yeah, I did just watch the previews this last weekend. All right, so no, I think we wouldn't have done as well if Haley hadn't been cracking the whip the whole time? Like, no, I think we would have gotten to the same spot. I think we would have done just as well. You know, it was, you probably agree, Haley, but normally every leg, it was sometime within the first 2 or 3 hours and I called it like the Haley blow up, where she was just like crap would hit the fan. And there was like, sometimes there was like, it was for a rational reason, sometimes not. And I say this, you know, in a funny way.
Oh, yeah.
After we got that Haley blow up out of the way, and then we got focused on like the detours and the roadblocks and actually performing and competing, it was pretty good. And we did well at it. So I kind of came to understand that it probably would happen, and that was, you know, that might have been her way of dealing with stress, and I'd kind of batten down the hatches and take it and, you know, forgive her for it and move on, and we'll be a team at the end of the leg and fight another day. So
Haley,
yeah, we always live to see another day. That's yes. For sure.
So if you had been on the race with a different blind date partner, let's say, you know, that you were on the race with, you know, Jelani or Tyler or somebody else, would we have seen a similar response from you, or is it just something about Blair that brings this out in you?
No, you know, I think it was just Blair's personality at first. And I say that, I don't say that as a negative thing in any way, shape or form. I say that as, you know, the way I had viewed it, the way I had taken Blair was that he was just, I don't know, that he was kind of disregarding me from the get-go, which I probably would have, you know, in all honesty, I probably would have too. I've been like, did you just see how this girl did in his mud run? Like, we're done. Like, what did I just get stuck with? The weakest person ever. But then I just felt that he was just disregarding me. That's how I felt. And I felt that, and then at that point, I felt disrespected because I wanted to go into this as 50-50 on a team. I didn't want somebody carrying my weight. I didn't want it to be, you know, Blair carrying 90% and me just kind of straggling along or anything like that. So at first I just felt kind of like written off and just, you know, completely disregarded when I'm like, hey, you know, we may not have a romantic connection here, but we need to get this together and still work as a team. I want to be a part of this team. I'm here to win. This is one of my dreams, is to be on the race and run this race. And I'm in this to win this. So that's just how I felt at first. And then once I realized that Blair wasn't, you know, it's not like, I got to know him better. And then I'm like, this isn't him being disrespectful or being, you know, arrogant or cocky. This is just how he is. He's a leader by instinct. He's naturally a leader, which he is. I mean, he has to be in his profession, both medical and military. That's how he has to be. So, you know, I first misconstrued how I felt he was towards me. And then once I realized that's not how he was being, and that's when we really started picking things up and getting it going.
Now, Blair, why didn't you listen to Haley more? Didn't she have a good eye for detail? And more often than not, wasn't she right most of the time? Why wouldn't you listen to her more?
So there are a few times I wouldn't say I didn't listen, but we threw out a few options, and I felt like we reached the consensus, oh, we'll try this and maybe not try this. And, you know, it didn't work in our favor at that point. But I really did. I mean, I always listened to Haley, and I reminded her of this. And again, this is more towards the end of the race than the beginning, because we were pathetic at the beginning. Like, we were grinding, like constantly grinding. But I had just infinite trust in her instincts by the end of it. And I really never did not listen to Haley. And I think, you know, maybe it was kind of poor communication on my part at times, that it was kind of interpreted or perceived as me not listening. But I tried to listen every step of the way, because she always had something valuable to express. So I think it's a little, you know, it's kind of a shame it was interpreted that I wasn't listening. But I could have done a better job at the end of the day. But I feel like, especially as the race went on, we definitely would hear each other's opinions and kind of make a consensus on every decision before we followed through. So I think, you know, that needs to be stated as well.
Haley, should Blair have done that final task, rappelling down the building?
No, because you know what? I wouldn't have been able to do. I could have probably done the football one, but I know my kicking skills aren't up to par. So whoever did the
what you kicked
one,
Blair all over the world.
What's that?
Not literally.
Literally.
Figuratively.
What did you say, Rob?
She kicked you all around the world.
Not ever physically. I don't think I've ever kicked a person in my life.
Okay. Blair, is that true?
I have bruises. I can show you, Rob. Bruises everywhere.
All right.
He's got the star to prove it.
All right. So, Haley, I know you didn't find love with Blair, which we were very disappointed about, uh-huh. but did you ever get the phone number of the pilot from the plane?
You know, he actually communicated with me via Facebook.
Oh.
Oh. Didn't tell me about that.
I mean, it was just a very... very, you know, simple communication. Obviously, I'm not going to pursue a relationship with someone that lives in Namibia. That's a little
hey,
too far.
Love will find a way.
Rob, she tells me a lot of things. I know a lot about Haley right now. And
like what?
She asked me advice about some guys, and I give it to her, but she has not told me about the bushfire. This is new news for me.
I told you that right when we got back. Like, it was like 3 days
Didn't
after
Facebook
I got back. Yeah.
Maybe I'll.
Okay.
Yeah.
Probably weren't listening.
Yeah. Haley, isn't this typical Blair that he doesn't even listen when you tell him stuff?
Typical Blair. I didn't know about the bush plane. He does know everything else, though.
Okay.
He does have good insight into my life. So.
All right. So talk to me about, you know, back in, I believe it was in Amsterdam. Laura said she didn't want to spend time with you because you were too negative. Now, what is it? What does
I mean,
she mean you're negative?
Because, probably just because of how she saw Blair and I on the race. But honestly, we didn't want to spend time with them either. So it didn't really matter.
Why not?
Well, I mean, just because
too bougie?
A team that was always... No, I mean, I wouldn't use that word. I just felt like they were always a team that was talking about other people, like other teams. I mean, it was just like, is that all you guys ever do is just talk about other teams? And so that's not how... I mean... I can recall times where, you know, people would be finishing something and they'd be, especially like, you know, like Mike and Rochelle or, and then like, you know, stuff about the Olympians and whatnot. I mean, it's just, we never, Blair and I could say this for 100% certain, we never once spoke poorly about another team. And it was actually, anytime somebody would get eliminated, it was like, it was hard for us. We felt bad for them. And I know there were times that, you know, I definitely got teary-eyed when we found out someone was eliminated. But yeah, I mean, it's just the fact that they talk so much about other teams. I just couldn't imagine going through that experience. And that's like what, that's something we did. Like Blair and I never talked about other teams ever. I mean, we had so much other stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
Already. Just
internal stuff.
You know,
yeah.
But I mean, honestly, there wasn't really anything to say about people. We would never sit around and say people were weak or anything like that, because obviously everyone had their strengths and it was, you know, and I feel like they talked about us a lot because we were obviously a huge threat to them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know Blair can agree with that. We were a threat.
Okay.
We were. We finished higher than they did frequently. So I'd be afraid of us too.
Yes.
Why not?
And Blair told me he was afraid too.
Yeah, he was.
Now, how much easier was it to cut down all that sugar cane when you imagined that it was Blair that you were cutting down?
I couldn't imagine that it was Blair because then I wouldn't have been able to finish the race.
Just because I couldn't finish the race, not because I wouldn't have a head anymore.
Because there did seem to be some intention behind all those machete chops that you were cutting down the sugar cane with.
You know, actually, I thought of it as softball. I played softball my whole life, and that's how I pictured it. It felt like batting practice again. And then, you know, we get out of there, and I'm like, oh, my God, Blair, look at these huge blisters. Blair can attest to how beat up I was after that challenge.
All right. Well, you guys are fantastic. You guys are such good TV that I feel like there is not a show on television that wouldn't be helped by the addition of Haley. Also, I feel like it's just great stuff. And Blair, your deadpan in reacting to all this is very, very funny too. So all the best to both of you guys. I hope we hear from you guys more in the future.
Thank you so much, Rob.
All right, take care, guys.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate
all right,
it, man.
Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. That is Blaley here on Rob Has a Podcast. And that was very fun, even though Haley didn't get that mad at Blair today. Hopefully, at some point down the road, we can see that one more time. Okay, before we get to our final exit interview of the show with Mike and Rochelle, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are our friends over at TrueCar, because when you're making a big purchase, like buying a new car, don't you want and expect a transparent buying process, a process that gives you the confidence to know you're getting a fair deal? And to really understand the power of transparency, you need to check out TrueCar and TrueCar's mobile app, because with TrueCar, not only can you configure the car you want and how you want it, but you can see what other people are paying for the same car you're looking for down to the zip code, so you know what you can expect to pay for the car you want. Pretty transparent. You can even decide if you want a stick shift or not. And once you decide on the car, you can lock in guaranteed savings on average over $3,000 off MSRP. Then you'll be connected with a trusted TrueCar certified dealer that will honor your savings without negotiation. So when you're ready for a new transparent car buying experience, save time, save money, never overpay. Download the TrueCar app today. All right. Last exit interview of the show here and of Amazing Race 26. Let's go ahead and bring in Mike and Rochelle. Mike and Rochelle, are you there?
Yes.
It is.
How's it going? This is Rob.
Pretty good. How are you?
Yeah, we're doing great over here. So, first off, how is your field goal kicking?
It's awful.
Have you been working on it over the weekend?
No.
Any improvement?
No, I have not. I mean, I should probably practice though.
Okay. All right. So first off, congratulations on getting as far as you guys got on the race, because you guys were always like flirting with disaster, where it was always like you were sort of in the mix every week. We were thinking that maybe you guys might get eliminated, but you guys always hung in there. How scared did you guys get as you guys were going along on the race?
There were some scary legs. Munich, I thought we were done for sure. Even the first leg, I guess, like in Tokyo, we thought we were done for. We U-turned Jeff and Landa because we thought we were the final two teams, and there was a lot of scary moments for us. That is 100% for sure.
Is that the same for you, Rochelle?
Yeah, definitely. I think we did have like 9 lines, which somebody said, and I think we were just able, you know, to stay positive and hang in there, and it was definitely scary at times, but we did it.
All right. Now, what is the status of the relationship? Has Mike met your son yet?
Yeah. When we got back, I introduced Mike to my son, and they definitely hit it off.
Oh, good.
They both watched wrestling together, and I turned into like my son's best
friend. Like BFF.
Yes. Okay. You're not worried about any of this wrestling. This is very dangerous stuff. Is it more dangerous than roller derby, though?
I think they both have their qualities of them. But no, my son loves theatrics and stuff, so he's really taken on wrestling. And Mike surprised us with some WWE tickets for a couple weeks from now, so we're all going to go watch it together.
Okay, well, very good. Was there a point during the race where you guys actually felt like that you had a shot to win this thing, Mike? What was the high point?
I think going into the final leg and being the first team to be at AT&T Stadium, I was like, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, oh my God, like we got off the plane, we got in AT&T Stadium. I was, you know, dressed up in gear as before coming in. I was like, this is it. Like,
if we're starting out hot, we can, if we can maintain this, we can win the race. And, you know, it didn't turn out that way, but that was definitely, that was such a high point. And I had so much adrenaline at that time, and I was so wide awake and ready to go and race, but that was cut short.
How big of a race fan were you guys before you came into this? Because I think a lot of people thought you were probably the most relatable team of the teams in the Final Four.
We actually, I didn't watch The Amazing Race that much before going on the show. We got, Mike got a call asking if he had someone to race with and if he still had a beard. and then so he called me. I was like, hey, do you want to try out for the Amazing Race? At that point, I've watched every season since, you know, preparing for the race. Before the race, I, like, have cable, so I've never really watched it.
Yeah, she crammed. She went on Hulu, and she was just, like, cramming every season she could watch, like, every season. And that's all, like, you know, that's all she would do. Like, I'd want to hang out or something. She's like, I got to watch the race. I got to watch the race. I'm like, oh, all right. I mean, I guess that's a good, you know. If we're going to get cast for this show, you better study up on the race.
And did all that prep work help?
Definitely. I think going on the race, you need to know what works for other teams and what doesn't. It helped us pass. There was, like, episodes where we saw other, you know, teams using, you know, like a compass or, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it helped us with our packing list. And it also helped, you know, knowing, you know, seeing teams that you thought were different now and somehow still managed to get through it. So we knew how the race went. And I think it definitely kept us positive at moments where we should have been feeling like we could be down and out. So
right.
It definitely did.
Mike, have you learned to drive stick shift since you've been back?
No, I haven't. I haven't even come within 100 feet of a stick shift. I don't even, that's the last thing. And like, the funny thing is before the race, we practiced driving a stick.
Okay.
And where we live, it's, you know, it's open roads. It's a lot of country. Like, we're in our town, there's 2 traffic lights. So I was like, I can drive a stick. Like, if I'm on a highway, cool. But then it's like, here you go in downtown Munich, Germany. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, I would struggle driving an automatic in Munich, Germany. So then they're like, here you go. Here's a stick shift. And I'm like, stalling every minute. There's cars honking their horns at me. Can't read the street signs. We have no directions. And I was like, ugh.
Okay.
And then by the time you got comfortable with it.
Yeah.
What was that?
You guys made it. Now, so tell me, there was a lot of times where it looked like one of you couldn't, like was really getting down about completing a task, but I felt like you guys had a good thing where you were able to sort of like push each other to complete these tasks. Has that been something that's carried over to the relationship now that you're back?
Oh yeah, we can. I mean, after going on this race and, you know, working together like that and seeing how great we work as a team, I mean, there's really nothing that can come into our life that's more stressful than what we've done. And just, you know, to have Rochelle by my side, encouraging me all the time, that entire race. I just think that's like, the bond is growing so strong, like that it can't be broken. And I have no relationship like this with anyone. And I never will, ever again, if, you know, family, friends, anything. She stood by my side on a trip around the world and encouraged me and pushed me to go. So can't really get any better than that.
And Rochelle, are you pushing for Mike to have a makeover after what you saw, how he looked in Monaco?
He did look pretty good in Monaco.
Yes.
I don't know.
I was coming here.
Makeover, Ladyboy.
I don't know. Monaco was absolutely. I felt like I was like a mix between a professor and somebody from Mumford and Sons.
Yeah. Well, you definitely didn't look bougie.
No. No bouginess coming from Truck Stop Love.
Yeah. No Truck Stop Love. How's everything back at the truck stop?
Oh. I actually knew there was a question you wanted to ask me about the truck stop, I heard.
Yeah. What's going on at the truck stop?
Well, the truck stop this is the big reveal right here.
Yes.
It's actually just kind of a normal gas station convenience store.
Oh my God. Hold on a second.
That's it.
Breaking news are happening now.
Hold on. So the truck stop is more of a convenience store?
Yes. My parents own it's a convenience store gas station, and there's a kitchen in it. So it's like a little mix of everything, and it's in a very rural area along a highway.
Most of the people that come in, are they driving trucks?
No, like it's usually tourists coming, you know, going to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan or going to Canada or something. We do get a fair amount of like local workers, mm-hmm. you know, who work for big companies or, you know, in the oil fields and stuff like that. But it's not a truck stop in the sense of like, you know, you see in like these old movies, like you're driving through Tennessee and Kentucky going south and, you know, you stop at the truck stop. And
okay.
It wasn't like that. But I think during casting, you know, they just kind of wanted, they're like, okay, you know, you can't just say a gas station. Let's make it a truck stop. You know,
truck stop is more romantic.
Yeah.
So that kind of became a joke with us. And Mike was like, oh man, they're casting as a truck stop manager, you know, and kind of a bit of it. So we kind of just like made it joke, and he wore like a I love truck stop shirt.
Yeah. Where did you find that shirt?
Rochelle made that shirt for me, actually. It was the thing. It was like, let's make this as a joke. And we made it, and we sent it in, you know, you have to get all your clothing approved. And we sent it in, and the casting director is like, that's what you're wearing at the start of the race. That's what you're wearing. I was like, no way. Like, there's no way this got picked for me to wear. It was just,
wow.
We just kind of use it as a joke. But
okay, and Rochelle, yeah, are you really a roller derby person? Is this all?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Well, at least, good. At least.
Everything else is real.
Okay. And you guys are really a dating couple also? This is really the okay.
Yeah, that's the real deal.
that's good to know. Who were some of the teams that you really bonded with during the race?
I think Blaley.
Blaley?
Sure.
Yeah.
We love Blair and Haley. I think you see only one side of Haley on the show, and she is absolutely a sweetheart. We're actually going to go see New Kids on the Block with her next weekend.
Oh, wow. Now, is it true? Yeah. Is it true, Rochelle? The reason why you like hanging out with Blaley is because you seem like the best girlfriend ever after a double date with Blaley. You just turned to Mike.
She does make me look good.
You see? And Mike's like, I love you so much, honey.
Down to earth.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Also, Bert and Kurgan were another fave.
Yeah, what's going on with Bert and, with Team Kurgan? Because are they punking people? Did they post on Instagram that they're engaged?
People.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a punk. Yeah. Everybody, yeah.
Yeah, I think that they have been watching too much of this Survivor Dirty 30 that they're trying to get on, you know, get some of the social media buzz and punk people on social media. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that was definitely it.
That's what I think.
I can see Kurt coming up with that idea like, oh my gosh, like, you know what, we can get people really talking. Let's do this. And they probably had a couple drinks or something in them. And,
right.
You know,
right.
Got that all out there. But.
Okay. Now, there had to have been a team that you guys didn't get along with out there. And now that the race is over, we can talk about it. Who was it, Mike?
I really got along with every team. The one time they showed anything bad about anybody was in Namibia about Jenny.
Yes.
What they didn't show is when they were U-turn, when we were doing the truck detour, the work detour, when I found out they got U-turn, she was running, just like cussing her head. Like, she was so upset. And Jelani was just like, he couldn't talk. He couldn't say anything. And in that, after the car ride, you know, they're like, well, what about, you know, what about Jenny? What was she doing? She was blowing up. And I was like, yeah, I feel sorry for Jelani, blah, blah, blah. And I watched that episode and I'm like, oh my gosh, like they made it sound like I hated Jenny. But no, I told her all about it and we talked about it. And we actually, at the finale party in New York, like I actually hung out with Jenny a good amount of time. We had a lot of great conversations and yeah, there really wasn't anybody I didn't get along with.
Okay. All right. What about the monster truck? How disappointed were you to not have had a chance to drive the monster truck, Mike?
I was very upset. Like Jelani told me on the mat that he's like, we got to drive monster trucks. I was like, you really did? And he's like, and they weren't even a stick shift. And I was like, oh.
We're like, what?
Wow.
So, you know, I mean, part of it, but that looks so awesome. Rewatching it again yesterday was like, man, I told Rochelle, we're sitting on a couch. I'm like, I really wish we could have done that. It would have been so awesome.
And, but, and, my, Mike, I see that your occupation is you're a pro wrestling producer. What does that entail?
Well, I like a promoter. Like I promote the shows, run the events. It's pretty much everything to, you know, from putting together a wrestling ring to booking wrestlers to advertising, making flyers, everything. Basically anything that happens at a local pro wrestling event, I'm the one putting it all together.
Have Brooke and Robbie reached out to you?
Actually, the day we're going to see New Kids on the Block, Robbie was booked for a wrestling show probably, I think it's like 2 hours north of us.
Okay.
Up in the Upper Peninsula, and somebody wanted to actually book myself versus Robbie.
I want to see that too. Match.
they wanted Robbie versus Mike, but we were busy that day and things didn't work out. So
what you're saying? Know, maybe you're somebody saying can make no it to that? What kind of promoter are you?
We're hanging out with John and Haley for Michelle's birthday. I just on the block, so and that was already
you're
set
picking
in stone, so.
Jordan Knight over wrestling against Robbie.
I'm sure we'll have a lot more chances for Robbie and I to mix it up in the ring.
Swear
but,
off,
you know, okay. We really wanted to go see John on this tour.
I think you need to challenge him right now.
Yeah, give us your best promotion.
Call out Robbie call E right now you. On Rob Has right a Podcast.
Okay.
The Amazing Race 25 versus the Amazing Race 26. We both came in fourth place. We were eliminated in the last leg. The first team. Me and you, Robbie. This is it. Calling you out.
Yes. All right. Well, we can't wait to see the matchup. I'll be ringside for that one. All right.
You can be special guest referee.
I would love that. Okay. Mike and Rochelle, thank you so much. All the best to you guys. And hopefully we'll talk again soon. Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, Rob.
All right. Take care. All right, everybody. There you have it. That is Team Gas Station Love, a.k.a. Team Truck Stop Love, here with us on the podcast. Good that we got to the bottom of the whole Kurgan thing that was going on Instagram. I know a lot of people were tweeting this to me. Did you see this? I said, I don't know. It feels like maybe we are getting pastored here, but it turns out that that was indeed the case. All right. That's going to do it for our coverage of Amazing Race 26 here on the podcast. Jessica will have a lot of Amazing Race international coverage for you guys over the summer. That's going to be on Reality TV Wrap Ups. Keep an eye on that on robswebsite.com and on our podcast feed at robswebsite.com/wrap ups. That's RHAPUPS. Also on Reality TV Wrap Ups, we're going to be bringing you a lot of coverage about The Bachelor. Amy and Haley are back to recap everything going on this season on The Bachelorette. That's on Reality TV Wrap Ups. And also Kurt Clark is going to be talking about Big Brother UK here. That's just got kicked off as well. Plus, we have our roundtable talking about everything from the Survivor Second Chance interviews and who impressed and who did not in their Second Chance interviews with me. And then, of course, with our Survivor finale coverage, we are going to get everything kicked off on Wednesday night at 11:15 p.m. Eastern with Tyson Apostle. And we will react to the winner of Survivor Worlds Apart. Plus, we will also talk about who is going back to Survivor for Survivor Second Chance. So lots of good stuff in the works coming up here on the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. Robswebsite.com/iTunes. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. And we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.